The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Mornings on the Mall continues. It's 7:07. I'm Rick Fowler. Brian and Larry have the morning off. Lisa Booth is with us. You've seen her on CNN and Fox. She is the president of High Noon Strategies, contributor to the Washington Examiner.
Good morning, Rick.
And we are joined by legal analyst and former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia, Joe DeGenova. Joe, it is great to have you with us.
Nice to be with you.
And we have plenty to talk about this morning between the Supreme Court. We've got the Freddie Gray case. And let's talk about the Freddie Gray trial. The closing statements will begin today. It is the trial of Officer Caesar Goodson, Jr. He is one of the six Baltimore officers. There is no timetable for a verdict in the trial, but he is elected for a bench trial, which means the outcome is decided by the judge. From what you have seen, has the prosecution made its case?
No, I think not. I think this is another case of reasonable doubt in a series of very, very poorly prepared and poorly presented prosecutions. These are basically cases that never should have been brought, and the prosecutor's office in Baltimore is doing this for political reasons rather than law enforcement ones. Remember, the first case ended in a hung jury with 11-1 for acquittal. Then the last officer, Nero, was found not guilty by the judge. He was one of the folks that put Gray in the van, and now we have Officer Goodson, who is the driver of the van. The testimony coming from other police officers, one particular detective, and some searing cross-examination of the medical examiner has created, I think, in the eyes of most observers, reasonable doubt on guilt, on Goodson's guilt. Remember, he's charged with second-degree murder with a depraved heart and six other minor offenses. I don't think there's any way that Judge Williams, who's conducted himself very, very well in these cases, is going to find Officer Goodson guilty of second-degree murder. I just don't see it.
Joe, you read my mind, because I was going to ask you, and I'm interested in hearing, you know, State Attorney Marilyn Mosby has been accused of sort of using this as leverage for, you know, sort of future political aspirations. She's been accused of acting too hastily, of overreaching in the charges. So just how has the politics of this shaped the trials?
Well, I think from the very beginning, she, along with the mayor of Baltimore, two really incompetent public officials, have made the case about their political futures and not about the facts in the case. Police officers have a very difficult job to do. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. This particular defendant, Freddie Gray, was in fact someone who feigned injuries repeatedly when arrested by the police. He had a long record of drug dealing. He was a very bad dude, and to make him some sort of symbol of intolerance by the police department was a joke from day one. And then to have it capped off by the mayor of the city saying she allowed the riots go so that people could blow off steam and have their say is, of course, that's the reason she's not running for re-election. She couldn't be re-elected. I think both of these individuals, the state attorney and the mayor, all made very, very bad public policy judgments. And, you know, Baltimore used to be a city where you had good government. Mayor D'Alessandro, Mayor Schaefer, they have been succeeded by a group of incompetents like the world has never seen.
Joe, I want to turn to Hillary Clinton, the emails. And in watching the Sunday talk shows yesterday, the coronation of Hillary Clinton continued. And nobody seemed to be aware of the elephant in the room. There's no real mention of the FBI investigation, which continues. WikiLeaks will be publishing more of Hillary's emails from Julian Assange. That's a new release that could fan some of the flames in the controversy, give a little further ammo for Republican presidential rival Donald Trump. What does she still have to face on the investigation? Now, some people are saying that Obama has endorsed her, so maybe he knows that there's not going to be an indictment.
Well, I think this all boils down to Loretta Lynch. I'm firmly convinced that the FBI under James Comey is going to recommend a series of criminal charges against her and against her entourage of aides who violated not only public records laws, record-keeping laws, but the Espionage Act and Classified Information Act. The FBI is also investigating pay-to-play, which are kickbacks and bribery schemes run out of the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State. I think the bottom line is that the FBI is going to recommend charges and that Loretta Lynch will do nothing about them. After watching her on television yesterday mouth these nostrums about why they weren't mentioning the Islamic part of the recorded conversations between Mateen and the police department, was pretty embarrassing to watch a public official act that way and give such ridiculous explanations as to why they weren't including his statements about his loyalty to ISIS. I think Ms. Lynch has already made up her mind about the Hillary cases, and it's all Democratic Party all the time.
What kind of recourse do you think that would have with the FBI if they recommend, an indictment and then the Justice Department sort of fails to act or protects Hillary Clinton from political reasons?
Well, I've heard a bunch of people say that James Comey will resign. James Comey is not going to resign. This is the job he's wanted all of his life. What I expect the Bureau to do if the Justice Department drops the ball, which I expect them to do just like they did in the IRS case and other cases, is I assume that what they will do is the FBI will leak, and they will leak in a big way. They will find a way to get their recommendation out into the public arena, which will create hearings up on Capitol Hill. Of course, given the incompetence of Republican oversight, I'm not sure that'll mean anything. But it'll certainly stir up things for the general election. But I'm just not sanguine at all about the Attorney General wanting to go forward in any of these cases. She might surprise me, but I would be very, very surprised if she were to charge anybody in any of the cases that the Bureau is investigating, other than Brian Pagliano.
Right.
Joe, if it ended up in the House or the Senate and there were an investigation, do they have any jurisdiction? Are there any consequences for her, or is it just the usual grandstanding and a day of hearings that she walks away from and claims victory?
Well, Congress has no authority to charge anybody with a crime. They can, under constitutional precedent, hold people in contempt on their own without referring the case to the United States Attorney, but they have refused to do that and won't do it. No, there's nothing they can do but hold oversight hearings and do what the Democrats used to do when they were in charge of the House and Senate, which is embarrass people publicly, make false accusations in public grand jury proceedings, the equivalent of them. No, if the Justice Department doesn't charge anybody, it'll be up to the American people to render judgment in the political context.
Now, Joe, staying on politics a little bit, Donald Trump has said that we should be looking potentially at something like racial profiling when it comes to Muslims to identify, Muslim extremists or Islamic extremism. What is your take from a legal standpoint on a proposal or a suggestion like that?
Well, I don't think he meant racial profiling. I think what Donald Trump meant was behavioral profiling, which we already do. The Israelis do this. When they examine people who come to airports and public buildings, they use behavioral profiles. Now, that profile includes someone's ethnicity, but it is not the basis of the profile. I believe that including someone's ethnicity in a behavioral profile is perfectly appropriate. For example, when we investigated the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, it wasn't the non-Irish Republican Army, it was the Irish Republican Army, for terrorism acts in the United States and elsewhere, we examined Irish institutions, Irish Catholic churches, Irish social clubs, the IRA itself. When we investigated the mafia, we investigated Italians. We investigated Italian social clubs, Italian churches, Italian organizations. Apparently, the only group in the world that we're not allowed to investigate are Muslim organizations. Now, why is that? It's because the President of the United States, because of his heritage and history, has a love affair with Islam, which is fine. He's a Christian. He professes that. However, deep inside him, there is a respect, which is fine, for Islam. And because of that, he doesn't want Islam to be harmed by these investigations. That's why the FBI is not permitted to include Islam or Islamic tendencies in its base for doing its fundamental preliminary investigations. That is fundamentally suicide by government. It's stupid. And because of the way we have investigated other criminal organizations in the past, ISIS is not only a caliphate and a state, it's a criminal organization. Because of the ways we've investigated the IRA, the mafia, other organizations, you know, Central American gangs. We infiltrate and spy on Central American gangs all over the country over drug cases. What is so special about Islamic organizations that they cannot be looked at like any other organization? My goodness, we looked at, when we did the Pollard case, the American Jewish guy who spied for Israel, we looked at we were allowed to look at organizations, Jewish organizations, that might have supported him and used him. That was all part of the investigation, but we're not allowed to do that with Islamic organizations under this administration.
Joe, we're going to continue the conversation. We got a quick break for traffic and weather. 719 WMAL, Mornings on the Mall. Brian and Larry have the day off. I'm Rick Fowler. Lisa Booth is here, and Joe DeGeneva is here, our legal analyst, former U.S. attorney for D.C. And Joe, a very busy week at the Supreme Court. They're expected to announce rulings on abortion and immigration, and they could have approximately a dozen remaining cases we could see outcomes on. And as you look at the week ahead, what do you see as probably the most important decisions, and any inkling as to which way anything's going to go?
Well, it's a little hard to tell. With the death of Nino Scalia, the court lost its brightest intellectual light and perhaps the greatest jurist of the 20th century. They are now basically split 4-4 with the exception of Justice Kennedy, who sometimes swings to the left. So we may end up with no decisions and with cases being sent back for further review. Kennedy might break in a couple of cases and give the liberals a majority for a 5-3 ruling in a couple of cases. I think, generally speaking, there's no way to tell. There's simply no way to tell.
Well, and Joe, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about sort of what this election cycle and the race for the White House means for the Supreme Court. Can you just sort of tell our listeners the importance of that and sort of how it would shape the Supreme Court?
Well, let's put it this way. If Hillary Clinton wins the election, she will probably keep Merrick Garland as the nominee, although I wouldn't be 100% sure of that. Merrick is a solid citizen. I mean, I've known Merrick for years and watched him judge. He's been a very, very good judge on the D.C. court circuit, but he is a liberal judge, and so if that's not your cup of tea, he's not your guy. But he's a good jurist. That said, if Hillary wins, she'll get to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Breyer. So that means Garland for Scalia, and then two more, and you end up with a 6-3 liberal vote. So this is the future of the interpretation of the Constitution, and make no mistake about it, that is very, very important to the way we conduct our business. They will reverse the Heller decision on the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. They will reverse Heller. Make no mistake about it. They will rule and limit it so poorly that it will have no meaning and the right to bear arms will be meaningless. That's just one example. But it is a very important example because the right to keep and bear arms, I like to tell people, it wasn't Amendment number 16 or 17 or 18. It came right after the First Amendment. It was the Second Amendment. It was the second most important amendment to the Constitution. Why do people think that happened? It happened because our founders believed that the individual right to keep and bear arms was important to fight a potentially oppressive government. So for everybody who cares about this election, forget what you think of Trump. He is what he is. We are where we are. Hillary Clinton means disaster. Donald Trump means maybe a chance to save the court.
There was a rumor floating around. It started with Paul Bedard, and he said, quote, Justice Clarence Thomas, reliable conservative vote on the Supreme Court, is mulling retirement after the presidential election, according to court watchers. Well, Clarence Thomas' wife, Ginny Thomas, went right to Facebook. Her response, for all those who are contacting me about the possibility of my husband retiring, I say, unsubscribe from those false news sources and carry on with your business. Busy lives. It is bogus, capital letters. Paul Bedard needs to find a phone in his life, and unnamed sources are worth as much as their transparency is.
Well, I think probably Ginny Thomas knows that the answer to that question better than anybody, and I would assume she's correct. By the way, I don't know who Paul Bedard is talking to, but I'd heard no such thing from anybody. We all knew that Clarence Thomas was deeply inspired and friendly with Nino Scalia, and that Nino was an inspiration to him, and that the loss of Scalia from the court has been sorely felt, not only by Clarence Thomas, but by all the justices on the court, who revered his intellectual capabilities, the way he conducted oral argument, his brilliant writing and legal analysis. So it isn't surprising that the depressed conservative think tanks around are thinking up all sorts of apocalyptic reasons for things to get worse, but I don't think Clarence Thomas is going anywhere.
And something you referenced earlier, this is from Loretta Lynch about a partial transcript of the shooter in Orlando.
But what we're not going to do is further proclaim this individual's pledges of allegiance to terrorist groups and further his propaganda.
So we're not going to hear him talk about those things.
We will hear him talk about some of those things, but we're not going to hear him make his assertions of allegiance and that.
How does that strike you?
Silly, of course. Really, really silly. Here we now have a public official, the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, telling us that they are going to purposely edit out comments about the motivation for the shooting. Now think about that for a second. The Attorney General of the United States announced on national television that she was going to protect us from free speech. This is insanity. She should be embarrassed by what she said, but of course she isn't, because Democrats and people like Loretta Lynch live in a world of their own. Everybody already knows what he said on the tape. It's been out. It's been published. It's in writing. Why in the world would you not put it out for people to make their own judgments about? And the reason is very simple. The administration is worried, Loretta Lynch is worried, that people will begin to believe even more than they do that radical Islamism is the problem and not guns. They are on a mission. They, Loretta Lynch and the president and the Democrats, are on a mission. The mission is to figure out a way to get rid of as many guns as possible from as many law-abiding citizens as possible. And you don't have to be a right-wing wacko to think that. I mean, it's fairly obvious what they are about.
Joe DeGeneva, thank you so much. Always great to get your perspectives on WMAL.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $199. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $399. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $299. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales. Right to your inbox. Save big.